moment. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that for thousands of years, these words have been speaking to people's hearts. And yeah, Lord, sometimes people have ignored them and chosen to go their own way. And they have, Father, they've just reaped the consequences of their decisions. And Father, we have a choice today as we open your word, as we listen to it. Father, we have a choice to make today as well. What are we going to do with your word today? And Father, I pray that you'd come by your Spirit, that you would grip our hearts, and Father, that you would accomplish something in our hearts today that would bring glory to you in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our many churches. Father, in the churches across our community here and across our nation, Lord, we pray that you'd do something in us that would change the landscape of Scotland and that people would see it and notice. So, Father, as we open your word today, we ask, come and speak to our hearts. May they be open to what you want to say in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes you hear a story and that story just grips your life. It inspires you. You sometimes hear a story and it's like that story just seeps into your soul and begins to achieve something, to accomplish something, and it starts to work in your life. Sometimes we feel that those stories connect to the God story, the big overarching story that we read about in the Bible, that we read about through church history for the last 2,000 years. And sometimes we feel like our story is beginning to fit into that big story. And I just felt about us as a church, that it was like we're at a place in the story of this church where God is turning over the page into a new chapter. That's what I feel as we go into this year. Jeanette shared the wee word at the start of the year to kind of back up what I had felt. We were two separate prayer meetings, and just that sense that God is in the process of doing something. And I likened it to turning over the page and God beginning to write a new chapter. And I want to think about a then and now story just for a wee second as I start today. I was impacted around 40 years ago by a story. And the story is encapsulated in a book. Let me get the book. It's called The Cross and the Switchblade. Has anybody read this book? Yeah, one or two people have read this book. Now, I read this book as a teenager, and God did something through the story of David Wilkerson traveling, I don't know, it was like 350 miles or something like that to New York to begin to reach out to young people that he'd seen on the news who'd been in trouble, and he began to reach out to young people. And something about that story, because he believed that God could change their lives. Do you believe that God can change a life? He believed that God could change a young person's life. And so he gave himself to what God was asking him to do. He gave himself wholeheartedly to it. And God began to change the hearts and lives of young people that he was reaching. And a ministry was birthed out of that called Teen Challenge. This story inspired me so much that I began to volunteer for Teen Challenge. I eventually became a director for Teen Challenge Edinburgh. And that was a huge privilege. I remember the funny looks we would get from, if you ever go down the street, there's a chippy, I can't remember what it's called, but Amato's the guy that does the pizzas, was it? Tony's. So if you ever go down the street and you go into the pizza place, say to Tony, he's the young guy who runs that, he's kind of like, he's not, don't tell him I said this, but he's not getting any hair, okay? So I'm just so that you'll know who I'm talking about. Right, go into Tony's and meet Amato and say, hi, Stevie was talking about you and how you used to really get puzzled about why they'd go out in this big blue bus in Whitburn Main Street and invite all these crazy young people onto the bus. And hopefully somewhere a seed was sown that changed a young person's life. Being impacted by this story in a way that began to shape how I viewed God, viewed the mission of God, and viewed how I could be part of that. That's the then. The now is a bit different. And last week, we gathered together in this room and we watched the Jesus Revolution movie. It's a story that's impacted me when I listened to Ray Stokes talking. Ray, you'll know, if you're part of the church, you'll have heard Ray Stokes come, and he brings amazing ministry. He prophesies over people. He's prophesied over me. He's prophesied over many of you. He's prophesied over the church. He's spoken the word of God into lives. And Ray came to faith in the Jesus movement way, way back that story talks about. It's another story. We watched the movie. I'm now halfway through the book. And in that book, it's beginning to impact the way that I'm thinking. There's something that God is doing as I opened up the book. I've not said this to anybody yet. I was trying to buy the movie, and I accidentally bought the book by mistake. What a tumshy, right? Nobody knows that yet, so this is confession time. My family don't know that. It's like, so that's what he was going on about. I bought the book by mistake because I didn't have my reading glasses on, and I thought I was buying the movie, and I bought the book, and I thought, you tumshy. But I am so glad I made that mistake. Had I only watched the movie, I'd have probably never came across what was in the book. Let me just flick to something crossing the switchblade, yep, Jesus Revolution, yep. Something I read in the book. At the start of the book, as I'm flicking over the pages electronically, because it's on my iPad, how God transformed an unlikely generation and how he can do it again today. Do you know, I look back at those times in Teen Challenge and I think, I didn't see the fruit that I hoped we would see through that ministry. I'm not saying it didn't achieve anything, but I didn't see the fruit that we hoped that would achieve. I think God is opening up a new chapter where we will see the fruit. I'm glad some people agree with this, because I'm excited about this. And there's something in that phrase there that gripped my heart as I thought about our mission statement, our vision statement as a church, sowing seeds of faith and reaping the generations. I've been listening back to some of the things that God's been saying to this church now, and I believe God wants to do something in a generation that's never heard about Jesus. Sowing seeds of faith, reaping the generations. And then I turned another page and I came to a scripture verse and it just gripped me. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it's up on the screen. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness in you. Something about that verse, as I read it, gripped me. As I opened it up in my Bible, I realized I'd been reading through my Bible and I'd highlighted it and underlined things and written notes. And I'm like, I'm coming back to it again. And God's beginning to speak to me all over again through this verse. I want to just walk through this verse just really quickly. I know that time is marching on. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love. Sow for yourselves righteousness. And as I read that again, I said earlier on, I've been meditating on the Beatitudes, the words of Jesus when he stood on that hillside to teach the people who had gathered. And I felt that the words which Hosea had written were reverberating all the way down through the centuries to something that Jesus said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness, to put it simply, is living the right way. You see, according to Jesus, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And sometimes we don't know where we are and we don't know if we're living the right way or the wrong way. And if we ask him, he will show us the way. Righteousness is living the right way. It's living the Jesus way, if I can put it that way. And so to sow for yourselves righteousness is to choose the right thing in every circumstance, even when somebody's bugging your happiness. To still choose the right thing to do, that's a challenge. Jesus didn't say love your friends. Well, he did say that because he said love your neighbor. But what else did he say? Love your enemies. That was radical in his day because nobody loved their enemies. Nobody loved their enemies in those days, okay? Can I just say, I've lost a lot of sleep this week. I've had early rises. I've just been waking up, so I'm a bit tired, so please bear with, okay, to quote Miranda. Righteousness is choosing the right thing to do every time. And to quote Constable, who I referenced last week, the righteousness that the blessed hunger and thirst for is not salvation. So he's not talking about righteousness in the way that Paul talks about it. Paul talks about sort of that imputed righteousness, that justice that gives us right relationship with God. Paul uses the word that way a lot. But when Matthew records what Jesus is saying, he's talking about us making the right choices to live the right way. It's a personal holiness. But it's also extending that desire more broadly, the desire that holiness may prevail among all people. How do you feel as a Christian living in the world today? Do you feel like the world's going to pot? See, in this second book that inspired me, Jesus Revolution, I'm just over halfway through. And so far, the majority of what I've read is him describing what the world was like, in America certainly, in the late 60s as it progressed into the early 70s. And when you read about what was happening, you think, to those who lived in those days, this was chaotic. To those who lived in those days, it's like the world's coming to an end. It was horrendous. Sometimes as Christians, we want that holiness from God to just rest upon our nation so that people begin to get it again, so that people begin to treat each other with kindness again. Common courtesy seems to have gone out the window, and it seems to be worse in the last few years since COVID. People are so impatient. People are so angry. People are so short with each other. And I don't know about you, one of the places I see it most is when I'm in the car. I'm like, what's happened to people? Have they forgotten how to be courteous on the road? Gee whiz. Anyway, that's another story. And I just felt as I was meditating on this, and I prayed this in my prayer, because we've been praying it when we come together to prayer, that the church needs revived. This church, the church of Christ in a nation, needs to be revived. God needs to come and blow a wind upon us that would just revive the church. There are prodigals who need to be restored into right relationship with Jesus once again. As we look at our world, there are people who need a revelation of Jesus. They need the light to come on so they go, wow, we've been getting it wrong all these days and we didn't even know. Lord, let holiness prevail amongst your people. Sow for yourselves righteousness. We need to live the right way, and we need to make the choice to do that. God can't do it for us. We need to do it. It's about our choices. And sometimes the choice we make is, Lord, help me to make the right choice, is praying that prayer. Because we don't have the resources within ourselves to make the right choice sometimes. He goes on to say, break up your unplowed ground. This was said by Hosea the prophet to Israel. And it was said somewhere around 2,700, 2,800 years ago, to a nation that was choosing to go its own way, to ignore God, to ignore God's law, to ignore God's way, the right way to live. These words were repeated. That phrase there is an unusual phrase in the Old Testament. The only other person to use that phrase is Jeremiah. Somewhere around 140 years later, he's saying the same thing as Hosea said. And he's encouraging the people to get themselves right with God, the people of Judah. And we know what happened to them. At the time when Jeremiah was prophesying, that people were taken into captivity, into Babylon, taken away, and God's word for that nation was fulfilled because of their disobedience, because they did not choose the right thing to do, but chose their own way. They went into captivity, they went into exile. This is what Jeremiah said to them. This is what the Lord says to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts. He was talking about doing something here at a heart level that would bring transformation. You men of Judah and people of Jerusalem, or my wrath will break out and burn like a fire because of the evil you have done. Burn with no one to quench it. Great words, eh? I'm glad I wasn't preaching from Jeremiah today and I'm preaching from Hosea. But you see, the people at the time had a choice to make. And the amazing thing about the Word of God is it doesn't die. It's not old-fashioned. It's not for yesterday. The Holy Spirit takes it and he applies it to us today. He applies it to the church today. And he's saying to those in the church, break up your unplowed ground. What's he talking about? He's talking about the condition of our heart. Our hearts can become hard. If you've ever seen ground like a farmer's field which has never been ploughed, there's a field out the back of our house. It's never ploughed. And I sometimes just wish the farmer would plough it and start from scratch. Because when you look at all the other fields around that get ploughed, the grass is so much greener. And I'm not just talking about it's greener on the other side. It literally is greener. Yes, it gets fertilised and all this stuff happens. But see, if you just plough that, turn it over, reseed it, feed it, it would be an amazing field. The grass would be this high instead of this high. It gets harvested every year. Our hearts can become hardened over time through life and through circumstances. Our hearts can become hard through unbelief when we have an opportunity to trust God and we don't. When we have an opportunity to do something right and we don't. Our hearts can become hard through our own self-determination. I call it the Sinatra syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? I did it my way. I did it my way. I'm not going to sing for you, okay? The Sinatra syndrome. Self-determination. I'm going to do it my way. And woe betide you if you get in the way. We can have hearts become hard through being abused. Hearts that become hard through a lack of self-care, where we don't guard our heart. Our heart, the Bible says, is the wellspring of life. It's where everything comes from. And we need to guard our hearts. Lack of self-care. Our hearts can become hard through sin. And we don't deal with the sin. We keep doing it. We keep saying it. We keep thinking it. Or there are things that we don't do, don't think, and don't say. And we keep on and we keep on and we keep on. That's what happened to the people of Judah and the people of Israel. And eventually God took them into exile. And they lamented. You'll know that I've quoted this before. But it comes back to my mind so many times. The psalm that Boney M took and wrote a song about. You know the one I'm talking about. By the rivers of Babylon where we sat. It's like, how can we sing the songs of God when we're here, when we're in this place? Sing a song for us. How can we sing a song when we're here? God, what's happening? And God's just trying to say, can't you see that this is the fulfillment of your choices? This is the fulfillment of your choices. And for 70 years, the people of Judah were in captivity in Babylon. And eventually, God came and rescued them. Our hearts can become hard. I'm encouraging us to do what that scripture tells us, to break up the unplowed ground. And we can do that by prayer. We can do that by coming to the Lord and saying, here I am. Search me. He goes on to say, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. You may be thinking, here he goes again. He's going to say, it's time. I remember when we used to sing that song in the church, it's time for the reign of God. Do you remember that song? We used to sing that song, and there was something about hope and expectation that was rising at the time. And you might think, well, what's God done in that time? Well, let me tell you, God's done a lot of things in that time. And God has been taking us on a journey as a church to bring us to the end of a chapter, and he's in the process of turning the page and opening a new chapter in the life of this church. I don't know if you believe that. I believe it with all my heart. If I didn't believe it with all my heart, I wouldn't be here speaking to you today. But what does that say? It's not saying it's time for God to come and do something. What's it saying? It's time for us to seek the Lord. It's time for us to seek the Lord. As God opens a new chapter, we have the choice to step into that page or not. It's God always gives us a choice. And if we are prepared to give ourselves to it, if we're prepared to, with God, move into the new chapter, then he'll begin to write on the pages. We begin to write history. you remember back in January 2020? Think back all those years ago. Seems like forever ago in one sense. And at the start of the year in January 2020, I stood up here and I said, do you remember what I said? Does anybody remember what I said? Sarah? It's not going to be a business as usual year. Do you remember me saying that? At the start of 2020, it's not going to be business as usual. I'm like, why did I say that? It's not going to be, and can I just tell you something? Since that moment in this church, it has not been business as usual. It has not been business as usual. In the church at large, it's not been business as usual. Just a few weeks ago, around 200 pastors and leaders had gathered to pray and to fast together. It's not business as usual. That didn't happen before 2020. It began to happen in 2020. That was the first one that we went to in Dunblane. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It's not business as usual. And I want to quote something which Ray Stokes said in a prophetic word. I'll come to this in a wee second. He said, in this church, there is a heritage of God. It goes back generations of people who have prayed. There has to be a day of the answer of those prayers. God will answer prayers. And I want to encourage us today that it's time to step up and it's time to step in. Step up to the plate and step into the new chapter that God wants to write for this church. I want to challenge you today. Have you grown in your spiritual life in this last year? And how do you know you've grown? How can you measure it? Maybe for some people, they've come through a challenging time and you feel stronger in your faith. Well done. Maybe for some people, they're still enduring through challenging times. Well done. Maybe for some people, it's been about overcoming a temptation, at least for now. Because sometimes the old temptations come back and they like to get a hold of us again. But we need to resist the devil and he will flee from us. For some people, maybe it's kicking a bad habit through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. For some, it might be that an addiction has been broken. For some people, it might be that you've formed a good habit. Maybe through prayer, intentionality. Maybe it's the habit of reading God's word regularly, of praying regularly, of witnessing regularly, whatever it might be. Maybe for some people it's that you've forgiven somebody that you've been holding on to for years, decades, and you've come to a place of forgiveness. That's spiritual growth. That's sowing for yourself righteousness. That's when the rubber hits the road, when it becomes these real things. Maybe you've grown in the word or in prayer or in dependency in the Holy Spirit. I want to quote something that I came across a few years ago as I'm almost finished. Change doesn't happen because someone told you you need to change. Change happens when you're desperate enough. Desperate enough to say, I need to change. I forgot to draw attention to the title of the message today. It was desperation. Change doesn't happen because someone told you you need to change. Change happens when you're desperate enough to say, I need to change. And often when we're desperate, we cry out to God, but we're not desperate for God often enough. To quote Lonnie Frisbee in the Jesus Revolution movie. I don't think it's quite written this way in the book, but he says this in the film. I don't know if you remember this, if you were here last Sunday night. I kept searching and searching and just finally got to the end of it, trying to find peace, trying to find God through all these things that failed. And there was still a void, he says. My people, well, they're a desperate bunch. And desperation, man, my hippie accent might come out. There's power in that word. What would it take for you, Chuck Smith, to be desperate? What would it take for you and insert your own name, what would it take for you to be desperate? To be desperate enough to say, I have had enough of the status quo. I have had enough of listening to the news and seeing the things that are happening in our world, in our community. I've had enough. I'm desperate to see God move in power. How desperate are we? Like I said, I'm almost finished. I think when God speaks to a church, we need to respond to what God is saying. And today, there's a way that we can choose to respond to what God is saying. I have highlighted some opportunities to come and pray together as a church. I don't know if they're going to come up on the screen, Lindsay. Yeah, they are. This week, we'll be praying for prodigals as we come together. I don't know what the Monday guys will be doing, but on the Tuesdays, this is what we'll be doing. The week after, I'll not be here, but I'll not be forgetting about people who have needs. And again, Bobby's going to be leading that. And then the week after that, we're going to be praying into missions, and Anne's going to be leading that. And I want to encourage you that one of the ways that we move into the new chapter of what God is doing is to get involved in the prayer life of the church. Some of the most amazing moves of God that history records have happened because people came and there was believing prayer. Prayer changes things. And to quote somebody who spoke from this platform a number of years ago, nothing of eternal value is accomplished without prayer. And I want to highlight one last opportunity that we'll have in February to pray. And I've not chatted to Bobby about this fully. We've probably bandied ideas about Bobby, so apologies, I've not really had the chance to speak to you about this yet. Is that at the end of the month, we will come here on the 27th of February to pray in person. At 7 o'clock, we will gather together in this building to pray in person. And what I'm going to encourage us to do is to be there to hear what God has said to this church. And I'm not quite worked out how we're going to do this all yet, because God has said a lot of things to this church, but we're going to listen to some of the things that God has said. And we're going to begin to pray. And remember what I was saying there about Ray Stokes, that word he gave in one of his prophecies. We'll listen to that one on that night. He says there has to come a time when those prayers are answered. Well, we're going to seek God. We're going to petition heaven until we see God answer that prayer. Break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. I really feel that as I finish today, that when God says about showering righteousness on you, he's not just talking about us gathered here. He's talking about the people that are around us, the people in our families, in our communities, in our streets, in our schools. I believe that God wants to come and shower righteousness. You see, the first righteousness is something that we sow. The first righteousness that Hosea talks about is something that we sow. That's something that we do. And as we do that, and as we seek him, it says that there's another righteousness that's coming from heaven. And that's not something that we control. That's something that God does. And boy, do we need it. Boy, does our society need it. And I believe that our response to the message today will be measured, and you'll hear about this over the next couple of weeks, will be measured in our willingness to come and pray and seek God together. I'm going to encourage us to fast that day. It's not just a day for praying, it's a day for fasting. And what I'm going to do, and you can make your own mind up, is that I'm going to fast from 6 o'clock the night before on the Monday evening all the way through to the following morning. So that'll be, well, not the following morning. That would be going to your bed and not eating anything. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? So this is on the Tuesday. So fasting from Monday night through to the Wednesday morning. That's what I'm really saying. And I want to encourage us to get hold of what God is challenging us to do, to fast. I know that some people have physical things and you can't fast from food. I get that. That's okay. God knows your heart. But I want to encourage us to fast and to come and listen to the word of God and to pray and say, Lord, it's time, fulfill your word over this church. And so that's the challenge today. It's a big challenge. Maybe it's a big challenge. Maybe you're thinking that's not much a challenge at all. But I want us to hear the word of God over this church. I want us to listen to it again. And this has been my heart for a long time now, since the tail end of last year, that we need to listen to what God has said over this church. We need to begin to understand it and to pray into it and to say, Lord, it's time. It's time. It's time for us to get right. It's time for us to come and seek you. So that's my challenge to us as a church today. And just as I finish off, I know I've said I'm going to finish three times now. Sorry for that. Oops. Sorry if that's a lack of integrity. Just a wee verse from that song, Glorious Ruins. I'll walk through the fire with my head lifted high and my spirit revived in your story. Not this story. This is part of it, inspiring as it is. Not the Jesus Revolution story, but his story. The story of Jesus that we enter into. And I'll look to the cross as my failure is lost in the light of your glorious grace. Father, we pray today that you'd help us to enter into your story. Father, it's time to step up and to step in. Time for us to change a gear in our church here. Time for us to seek you like we've never done before. Time for us to pray like we've never prayed before. And Father, we can only do this as you come and help us to do it. But Lord, we want to declare that we want to be intentional in reaching out to you. Intentional about recognizing that when we pray, it's all about you. And so, Father, we recognize our need. We can't do these things in our own strength. We need you, and we ask that you would come. And Father, my prayer today is that you would cause something in our hearts to be stirred today, Lord, that we would realize that you're opening a new chapter. It's not just a new page, it's a new chapter. That you're about to do a new thing. Lord, you've already been doing new things, but you're going to do something different again. And we look forward to it. So, Father, we give ourselves to it today. Do you know, I'm just feeling that today we can't just stay in our seats today. If you're able to stand, I'm just going to invite you to stand. And that's part of our response today. It's like, yeah, I'm stepping up and I'm stepping in. And Father, I just pray over every single person who's standing in this place today. Father, we pray your blessing. Father, we pray for your provision. Father, we long to see those power gifts in operation in the church, miracles, healings, faith. Father, we pray that you would cause faith to rise, a supernatural faith to rise in the hearts of those who are standing here today. Father, faith that is prepared to believe, a faith that's prepared to step out. Father, our faith that's prepared to believe for healings, to believe for miracles, to believe that the impossible can happen. And Father, we pray that you give us a childlike faith. Father, I think about those who came to know you and the Jesus movement back in the early 70s. Father, they just read your word and they put it into practice. They had a simple faith. Lord, help us not to get our intellects in the way and just to believe what you want to do. Believe what you want to say. Believe who you want to save. And Father, may our hearts be open. May our hearts be soft like that plowed ground. Father, may our hearts be open to all that you want to do in us. And Father, we pray that you would be glorified in this place today, that you'd be glorified in your church across this nation. Lord, we give ourselves to it today afresh. In Jesus' precious name, amen.